I just want to speak for these few minutes about how to glorify God. It's always been our desire as Christians to glorify God, but exactly how does this happen practically? And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, before I get to the scripture of John 17, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for God's glory." Do everything for God's glory. Can we go to John 17, verse 1 to 4? John 17, verse 1 to 4. A profound chapter in the Bible. John 17. "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.'" And let us focus on verse 4. "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." Our Jesus lived a very focused life, a very purposeful life. And every decision that he made was based on God's purpose for his life. And so when he says, "I've accomplished the work that you've given me to do," let us just go, I don't have to go to all the scriptures, but in Luke 4, verse 42 to 43, it gives us a little bit of a clue. It says, "Early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowds searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave. But he replied, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent.'" Jesus knew his time was limited on this earth. There are limits to what we can do. The world says you can be anything you want to be, but that is far from the truth. We can be everything that God has designed us to be, or made us to be. There are a lot of good things that we can do, but it is not necessarily based on God's purpose for our life. God wants to limit us to what we do best and what can benefit the kingdom of God most. You know, we live in this world where people say, "I want to keep my options open. I want to keep my options open as much as I can." You know, you also hear this from guys that want to get married. They don't want to commit. They said, what do they say? "I want to keep my options open as long as I can." You know, it doesn't work. You've got to commit to one thing. And one thing I realized in life is that when I commit to one thing, I reject all the other things. So when I married my wife, I rejected the 1.6 billion other women. When you commit to God's purpose, you reject all the other good things that you could have done. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says something very profound. It says, "We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will only boast about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you." God gives us boundaries to work in. And one thing that I always notice is that this word limit, it has got a negative sense to it. When you talk about having limits, it's like you're restricting me. But in the sense of God's destiny for our life, it can be a very positive thing. I want to tell the story about this young lady that was in the first year of university. And she was a very bright girl, very bright. And she was so bright that she thought she could miss classes. It was the first semester. And so she said, "You know, I've got distinctions in matric, I can miss classes." So she had to submit two assignments. And she missed classes, and then she handed in the assignments. And she said, and then she handed it in, and the professor marked it and gave it back to her. And the professor had three comments on her assignment. Comment number one, excellent research. Comment number two, good writing. Comment number three, wrong assignment. It doesn't count if we are successful at the wrong thing. You know, you can put your whole life into something, and God says, that was not what I wanted you to do. It doesn't count. Imagine if you spent your whole life operating outside of the boundaries which God set up in your life. Paul says we can only boast about what happens within our boundaries. I cannot talk about what happens outside of my boundaries. And I'm going to share a bit more about the life of Joseph later on to just drive that home. When we talk about God's destiny for our life, I define destiny as the position where you have the greatest influence for the kingdom of God. God's destiny for your life. I want to talk about someone that Dave has been talking about for, I think, two sermons, about Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, as you can see there, she's known all over the world for her work with the poor, which started in India. But what most of us don't realize about Mother Teresa was that she was a teacher for almost 20 years. So life was going quite well. And it wasn't like she hated teaching. She was so good that she was going to be the principal of where she was teaching. So she was teaching for about 20 years almost. But in 1976, something happened to her. 1976. Teresa says this. She says she experienced the call within the call, known as God's destiny for your life. The call within the call. This is what she says. I was to leave the convent and help the poor while living among them. It was an order. To fail would have been to break the faith. She was a good teacher. But she said she had an order from God. And she said, if I don't pursue this, I'm going to break the faith. God put a desire inside of her that was so strong that it had to be expressed. She could not carry on with life as normal. She could not go into the classroom and teach again. Because the burden that God had given her was so strong, she had to do something about it. She couldn't put God's word on the shelf. You know, when we receive prophecies, we say, I'm going to put it on the shelf. She couldn't put it on the shelf. It was so strong. It was so gripping. She had to do something about it. God had been preparing her all this time for her to enter into his destiny for her. Her greatest work lay ahead of her, and she needed to obey God's voice. She started off very small, and that's why I'm saying destiny is the position in which you have the greatest influence. As a teacher, she had influence, but as a worker of the poor, she had worldwide influence for God. She started off very small, but her influence spread far and wide as we work within God's boundaries for our life. Just listen to this. By 2007, I think she died 1996 or 1997. By 2007, her work had spread to 120 countries. 120 countries. Long after she passed away. Her work included running orphanages, AIDS hospices, charity centers, caring for refugees, the blind, disabled, poor, homeless, victims of floods, epidemics, and famine. But now that's not really the question I want to ask. The biggest question I had when I read this was this question. What if she had just kept teaching? That is the big question. What if she had just put it on the shelf and said, I'm going back, I'm going to continue just teaching? If you don't follow your God-given desire for God's destiny for your life, you begin to die inside. She would have gone into the classroom, but she would have been dead. Because there's something that was lurking inside of her that was so strong that it had to be expressed. People are still benefiting from this lady, even today, because she accepted God's destiny for her life. She had to leave her present way of living and pursue God's destiny. I want to tell you a bit about my life in a few minutes. If I can describe my life in one sentence, I would say one phone call changed my life. I was sitting in my room and we had a new priest in the church. And I'm sitting there next to the phone and I don't know what God is ministering. I didn't really know God's voice that time. I just got saved. And the Lord said to me, the first time I heard God's voice, said, pick up the phone and phone your priest. And I said, I don't know why. I don't even know him. And the Holy Spirit said, pick up the phone and phone your priest. I picked up the phone and I phoned him and I said, can I have a meeting with you? And then he said, sure. He didn't know me. I went to his house and by default, our youth group went down. There was no youth group at our church because our youth leader left. So there was nothing happening with youth. And so by default, I became the youth leader because there's no one else to run the youth. And so what happened was there was a lady in the church that was connected with an organization called African Enterprise. And so she gave me this card of African Enterprise. She said, phone these guys. They might be able to help you out. So I phoned the guys, we had a meeting, and then the Foxfires came to my church in 2003. And then the leader of the Foxfires said, don't you want to apply for Foxfires? There's a vacancy opening and, you know, try it out. And that's where I'm talking about the burden that's so strong, is that once that guy released that word and I applied, God confirmed things that whole year, saying, Julian, this is what I've called you to. And the reason why you can know that you can pursue God's destiny is that, I say this with respect, but when you pursue God's destiny, there will be opposition. There was World War III in my home. And I'm not joking. There was World War III in my home when you accept God's call for your life. But God gave me a scripture that encouraged me. He said, in Proverbs, it said, when your ways are pleasing unto God, he even makes your enemies be at peace with you. God gave me that promise. And the enemy wasn't my parents. And enemies are those people that oppose the will of God in your life. So I didn't look at my parents as the enemy. But there was something behind that wanted to oppose God for me to pursue God's will for my life. And so God says, if your ways are pleasing unto me, Julian, I'll even make people be at peace with you that are not at peace with you. God did amazing things with my parents. And even after I came back after 2 years of Foxfires, my father said to me, you know, Julian, even now I continue to Bible school because of the change he saw in me after Foxfires for 2 years. And that's what God can do when you follow his will for your life. It's an amazing story. And I wish I had more time, but that's just the gist of it. One phone call that led to a series of things that happened in my life to where I am today. When we reach our destiny, before we reach our destiny, our lives go through certain stages to prepare us for that destiny. If we look at the life of Joseph from Genesis 37 onwards, we see this young man that's got dreams. He has dreams of saying, I'm going to rule. God has given me this dream to rule, leadership. But it's not very popular with some people, brothers. So the brothers get jealous, they're angry at him, and a long story short, they sell him to slavery, and he lands up in Egypt. And this is where I see God as a God of strategy and preparation. God is a God of strategy and preparation. The stages of your life can be compared to a scene in a movie. Every scene brings us closer to the climax. As you look at your life currently, do you see your life moving closer to your destiny? As the movie plays, it moves closer to the climax of the plot. When we look at Joseph's life, we see him going from Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace. And at every stage, there was a series of God developing Joseph in every stage until he reached the palace. Every stage is an opportunity for God to develop your gifting and your character. Joseph's leadership skills had to be tested at every stage for him to handle the huge responsibility of leading a nation. So God, when Joseph got to Egypt, God couldn't take him straight to the palace. Because if he went straight to the palace, he wouldn't have had the capacity to handle leading a nation. God had to take him through certain stages before he got there. It was his success in exercising his gift in the prison that gave him an opportunity to exercise his gift in the palace. In the prison, his gift only affected two individuals that we know of. But in the palace, his gift would affect a whole nation and nations around Egypt. What can we learn from this for our own practical lives? God takes us through the test of faithfulness. Joseph first had to be faithful in leading Potiphar's house before leading a prison. And you cannot lead a nation unless you have first successfully learned to lead in a prison. It's all part of the process. And God is a God, and today's world hates the word process. They want microwave Christianity, where it's in and out. We don't like this thing of process. But God has to take us through process. As we progress and move towards our destiny, you take on more responsibility. Joseph's responsibility in the prison was more than what it was in Potiphar's house. And his responsibility in the palace was more than the prison. And so as you progress through life, you see yourself taking on more responsibility as you go along. That's how you know you are progressing. And also the other thing is that when you move from one stage to the next, you carry the lessons you learned into the next stage, or you should. Before Joseph reached the palace, he had a history of successfully using his gift. I think Dave said in one of his sermons, he talked about having the secret history with God. Joseph had a history of seeing God come through for him. And when you reach the palace, you've got to have that history of developing your gift, of seeing God come through for you. And that's why God takes us through these stages for us to see, God, you did this here, you did this here. By the time you're in the palace before the king, you are ready to go. But the history becomes important because of your credibility in your area of responsibility. Credibility in this world is very important. And to gain influence in this world, you need credibility of using your gift. And so Joseph had to build up his credibility wherever he went. And this thing about destiny is so much more, as Pastor Craig was telling me, is that we have our own personal destiny, but it's all part of God's greater plan. And when I come to the end of this talk, I'm going to show you from Ephesians what that is. Because each of us, wherever we are, the Bible says, we have boundaries from within which we operate. If we don't find those boundaries, we'll end up operating outside, and it will be like that first year student, where we can do a lot of good things, but never do what God told us to do. If we look at how the people of God gained influence, I was looking back at Daniel, Joseph, all those guys. If we look at how the people of God gained influence in worldly systems, there was two primary ways they did that. Excellence of character, number one. They told Daniel not to pray three times, and they said, Daniel said, no, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to allow these guys to dictate to me what I should do. I'm going to pray three times as God has told me to do. And you know about the lion's den? But that experience glorified God. Excellence of character. But there's another way that you do that is exercising your God-given gift. You did not come empty-handed into this world. When you came into this world, you didn't come empty-handed with nothing. God gave us something. You have something to offer this world that the world needs. Your gift or your talent is a special ability given by God to solve a problem in the world which no one else can. Let's look at Genesis 41, verse 24. Your gift is a special ability given by God to solve a problem in this world which no one else can. Genesis 41, verse 24 says, this is Pharaoh speaking. He said, let's go from verse 22. He said, and I also saw in my dream seven ears growing on one stalk, full and good. Seven ears withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven good ears. And I told it to the magicians. But what did he say? But there was no one who could explain it to me. He said, I got all these guys around me, but no one can explain this to me. Where is the guy with the gift? Joseph then comes with the gift, and it gains him influence in the palace. Each one of us has that special gift. And the gift is not to glorify ourselves. The gift is to gain influence and to glorify God. God is not glorified through you being common or through you being average. God is glorified by you being unique and uncommon. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh, he was the only one who could interpret the dream. Through the gift God gave him. But it's also important to know in Genesis 41 verse 15 that he gives the credit to God. He says, it's not in me to interpret this dream. He says, but there is a God in heaven. And so when you're standing before Pharaoh in the palace, he says, you know what, I can't interpret this dream, but I must let you know there is a God. There is a God that has given me this gift. And we see that Joseph becomes humbler as he moves through these stages. You see God, him decreasing and God increasing. And that is the reason why God has to take us through these stages. It's for us to go down that he might go up. And so when we see Joseph in the palace, we see a very humble guy. We see a guy that has total dependence on God. And he says, you know what? I know I've got this gift, but I need to give glory to God now. Because it's him that gives me this gift. So here is the simple test to find out if you are using your gift. You want to know the test? If there is someone else who can do things exactly the same way that you can do it with exactly the same results, you probably haven't found your gift yet. If there is someone else who can do exactly the same thing that you can do with exactly the same results that you can do, you haven't found your gift yet. Continue searching. Whenever God wanted to do something on the earth, he always provided gifts. When we look at God building the tabernacle, I think it's Exodus 31. God says, I've skilled these builders to do this assignment. So whenever there's an assignment on your life, God gives the gifts with that assignment to fulfill that assignment. Sometimes it's the talent itself or the gift itself that is the clue to the work God has for you. I was asking God, God, where do I put the scripture? Let me go to Ephesians 1, verse 1, just verse, Ephesians chapter 1, as I close. We're all part of this big plan. Can we go from Ephesians 1, verses 7 to 10? Ephesians 1, verse 7 to 10. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. Here's the big thing. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him. Things in heaven and things on earth. Whenever I plan for ministry, whenever I strategize for ministry, the number one thing I ask myself is this question. Where is the will of God not being done? Where is the will of God not being done? Because that is where I'm called to. Where is it not being done? It says here, the plan of God at the end of the times was to unite everything under Christ. And so whether you are a sportsman, a pastor, whether you are in business, whatever, the purpose is to unite everything under Christ, under the headship of Christ. Whether you're a singer, a dancer, whatever gift God has given you, within the boundaries that He's given you, it is to unite all things under Christ, to bring it under the rulership of Christ. Wherever you are, work, entertainment, whatever it is, uniting all things. And that's what we do, is when you go into schools and all of that, we're saying, God, there's your will is not being done in these areas. You are calling us to bring order back to the schools so that Christ can be glorified and His headship can be seen in the schools once again. That's what it's all about. But He uses gifts. He uses character to do that. But this is the end goal. To unite all things under Christ. So my question to you is, what is God preparing you for where you are right now? In which stage of your life do you currently find yourself in? I want to just disencourage you and say there are no disconnected dots in your stages. God can even use the things that you thought were disconnects to take you towards His destiny for you. Do you feel like you're in prison right now like Joseph? God would want to say to you this. Develop your gifting. And know that God is faithful to fulfill His promise to you. When Joseph was in prison, he carried the promise inside of him that he would rule one day. In prison, he's like, God, you didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me I would be in prison. But he carried a promise inside of him that one day, I'll reach that place. I want to also tell you the one that think that in prison, there's another thing I want to say is that grow where you are planted. Grow where you are planted. It is not God's will that you die in the prison. God wants you to progress to the palace. Maybe your life has gone on a detour. So you knew God's, but then somehow you deviated from that plan because of some circumstance, whatever it was. You can't run away from God. He's going to catch up with you somewhere. He knows where you are. He knows everything about you. So, sorry for you. but again, just repent and come back to Him. Just repent and come back to Him. He's waiting with loving open arms. It doesn't matter what, I mean, some of us go to detours for, I don't know what reasons they were, but come back to him, he's waiting for you. And then I want to speak to another group that maybe you did pursue God's destiny for your life, but you've experienced a lot of criticism because of following God. And it ended up you not pursuing that which God wanted you to pursue in your life because of the rejection and the criticism that came against you. And that was the same thing that happened to me as well, is that, but one thing that I know for sure is that what God gave me was so strong that I could withstand the rejection that I faced. So when God puts that desire in your heart to do something like Mother Teresa, it is so strong, it is so gripping in your heart that you are you don't worry about the opposition, you don't worry about the rejection. I was willing to be rejected by man to follow God's plan. And I'm telling you, God was with me all the way. And so even if you are here today and you've experienced that and you've gone for God, 100% for God, and everywhere you go, it's just criticism, rejection, pain, that's all you have. You know what? God can heal you up for the harvest again. God can heal you for the harvest. And please don't give up. Because that which the opposition will come, and that is one of the signs that you are on the right track. Are we listening to the desires that God has placed in our hearts? Or are we carrying on with business as usual? Are we listening to the desires that God has placed in our hearts, or are we carrying on with business as usual? Let us come back to Mother Teresa. She could have just carried on with business as usual, had a good life, been a principal, all of that. But every day she would have died a slow death inside. Are we able to say like Jesus, Father, I have completed the work you have given me to do? How do you glorify God? Finish the work he's given you to do.